Konnichiwa, and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Konnichiwa, Mina.
And Goz.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Cosmic Fantasy Trap of the Galactic Temptress, aka Cosmic Fantasy Ginga Meihyo no Wana, an OVA from 1994. I chose this one because it's on the shorter side and I've had a busy month. Yes, it's only the second week of the month. How do you think I feel?
Busy.
It was animated by Jitensha, the studio behind literally nothing else. This is the only thing they made.
That's actually kind of a shame because they did a great job with this.
Oh yeah, the animation is great.
Cosmic Fantasy Trap of the Galactic Temptress currently has an annualist score of 54%. Cosmic Fantasy was an RPG series which released on the PC Engine CD, also known as the TurboGrafx CD, in Japan only. There was a compilation of the first two games on the Mega CD released outside of Japan. There were collections of all the games, two collections, released on the Switch worldwide a few years ago. This OVA released just before Cosmic Fantasy IV, the final games in the series. Yes, I said games, because there were two versions. They were both called Cosmic Fantasy IV Ginga Shonen Densetsu, and the first one was Totsenyu Hen, and the second one was Gekito Hen. I believe that translates roughly as beginning chapter and battle chapter.
So it's one of those that splits the ending to like two different things. Ah, God, I hate that.
I read a quick synopsis, and it seems that the second game is like a side story to the first game. Like, what was this character doing during this whole thing?
At least it's less confusing than Kingdom Hearts still.
I saw, when I watched gameplay, I saw like some pretty high detailed images of characters, and I wondered if it's also a dating sim.
There are ichi elements from my understanding, which makes it curious that they would release these collections on the Switch and only the Switch.
Why? Anyway,
because it's Nintendo. Why would you release anything ichi on a Nintendo console? It's just for kids. Well, no, I wrote an article that counters that.
Although Japanese games are pretty lewd. And, I mean, both Bayonetta sequels are only on the Switch.
Well, Nintendo of America cancelled the ports of the Hyperdimension Neptunia series. That's Nintendo of America, not Nintendo completely, because you can still get them in the Asian region. So my short synopsis is: an interrupted date turns into a date with death. Arthur?
A conspiracy to bring down the leader of Al-Janan brings the team to its limits.
Angus?
His dealer a cat, his bike a squirrel, his ship his mom. Here comes Cosmic Hunter Yu.
Well, that's the long synopsis. Thank you, everyone, for reading, for watching.
We open on a narrator talking over a flight through space. It's the Galactic Federation calendar, Cosmic Century 00... No, they said 0073. And no, we haven't started watching Mobile Suit Gundam by accident. Things are going great, according to the narrator, except we cut to a small fleet of spaceships over a planet where one is attacked by pirates. One of them explodes, but it looks like all of them then explode, so that was a bit... Apparently there are so many space pirates that the space police can't keep up, and the human race is starting to lose hope. However, thanks to Daigo Tokida and his cosmic security company, and 20 years of time passing by in a moment, we're introduced to the Cosmic Hunters, who aim to put right what once went wrong. Why did I type that as a mouthful? And then we get the title card. We open back on a purple pirate ship and the captain watching a news report on Cosmic Hunter U. The captain picks up a drink, which has a rose sticking out of it like a cocktail umbrella, and chuckles to herself about how she'll deal with the U soon.
The first innuendo of the day.
We cut to a spaceship docking at a space station. And for some reason I wrote cocking at a space station.
Whoa, whoa. We're not allowed to say that here.
The film is full of, like, pretty well hidden innuendo. So you might be affected.
The news is playing on a large screen inside, which is showing the same news as in the pirate ship, with a report on you finishing up. The next news story is about a freighter going missing near Pluto, but I'm sure that'll never come into play. You and his friend slash partner, Sire, walk through the concourse and overhear people talking excitedly about the Cosmic Hunters. You nips into a shop while men try to pick up Sire. Eventually, she follows him into the shop and finds him gazing at a navigation unit, which he explains is because Nyan sold him a faulty one before, and Sire is annoyed that Nyan always sells rubbish. We cut to a ship flying through space, where its pilot, Nyan, sneezes and talks to himself about selling some dodgy sales robots. Back on the space station, Sire wants a dress and is approached by one of those very sales robots. She declines the offer to try it on, so it molests and strips her. So she fries it with a bolt of lightning, which makes it malfunction. So you and Sire run away while the store manager and assistant manager fight the robot.
I want to know that story. What happens next with that? Did you go on like an adventure and solve crimes together?
Well, I really like how the sales manager just grabs the guy and just pulls him into the fight. That was really funny.
To answer the question of do they get into fights, into adventures, you need to play Cosmic Fantasy V, which cancelled.
Was it?
Impossible. It was the best one yet, probably.
When I tried to find info on like the game and characters, I read something that suggested that the game has some kind of investigation elements. I'm not sure that's true.
The manager mentions Nyan, so we cut back to him sneezing again. And then his engines break down, so he activates his emergency beacon.
It seems to me like he built that ship based on his own products that he's selling.
Yeah. He got high on his own supply of faulty parts.
That's really the business, I would know.
Elsewhere, a robot named Monmo is interrupted while playing a video game with a report of a broken-down spacecraft. Monmo asks if another team can deal with it, as those two have a day off. So the person on the other end of the communication goes to check.
I was so upset at that sequence, because he was playing the game, the bitch called him and interrupted him, and then, when she stopped talking to him, she turned off the TV completely, and he lost his game.
Save regularly, folks. The lesson of this podcast. We rejoin you and Sire at an aquarium. She comments on how this is like a date, and then he notices that there are multiple couples cuddled together in the vicinity. So he freaks out, but he leans in for a kiss until Sire's virgin alarm goes off. I get extra points for Spaceballs references. It's actually Monmo on Yu's video watch, reporting on the emergency and how there are no other teams close by. I mean, it's their day off. Are there not teams a little bit further away?
There's only one other team, actually, and they are busy somewhere else completely. It's a very small private military contractor.
They're on another date, and it's just a coin toss on who's closer and has to cancel their date.
They leave the space station in their ship, warping to Nyan's ship, and bringing it on board. Monmo complains that the emergency call was only for emergencies. Personally, I think that getting stuck in space with limited supplies is an emergency.
Yeah, it is. You have only one life. It's not a video game.
Not enough to interrupt a date. How dare you?
To be fair, Monmo brings up just calling a mechanic, but Nyan counters that that would have cost. Saya then has a go at Nyan for interrupting their day off and runs away. Later, we don't know how long, but she's back in her room and Nyan is trying to apologize through the bedroom door. And Yu is sticking up for him. Way to upset your girlfriend, dude.
Look, I know that he's a sleazy salesman and he always sells us crap, but I'm sure he's gonna do something when it counts. He's gonna be our quirk.
An alarm goes off. It's an emergency call from the missing freighter. They warp to the coordinates and find the purple pirate ship trading fire with the missing freighter. Or maybe just firing at it. It was a bit unclear. They come under fire from space torpedoes, and Nyan jumps into Saya's seat as she's still in her room. And Monmo has turned into a dirt bike for some reason.
The weird animal imagery in this, like, yeah, the bike is a squirrel. Yu wears a helmet that has a face of a bear on it for some reason. And later, well, we'll get to that.
They avoid damage, and when the pirate ship clamps onto the freighter, they decide to board the freighter, which Yu is going to do with Dirt Bike Monmo. They race on board, but find only one life sign, which is on the bridge. It's the captain. It's the pirate captain. This was a trap.
There's so many questions I have, because they say that the space is full of pirates, but if it only takes one to pilot an entire ship, then is it only one pirate per ship? Then maybe you only need two teams of cosmic police people or whatever they're called.
I think the implication is that she's the one who made the freighter go missing near Pluto, and like she wasn't actually piloting it. They were just shooting at it after activating its emergency beacon.
How did she get that bed near the reactor?
I mean, we don't know how long the freighter's been missing for.
It seems like she's on her own. Like, what kind of pirate are you?
No, right at the start, we see on her ship there are people. At least two, I think, we see. And her in the captain's chair. But then we never see anyone else.
Maybe they were unrelated people. Because, yeah, later you don't see anyone with her.
Her name is Belga, and she's new to the pirate game. Apparently there's a lot of competition. To help in her endeavours, she asks you to join her, and together they could rule the galaxy. He refuses, so she tells him she'll become famous for killing him, then teleports to a ship as it disengages. Yu jumps back on Dirt Bike Monmo, and they race for the connecting bridge. But doors start closing, directing them into a large room with a bed inside, and Belga on the bed. Also a proton bomb behind the bed.
Like, it seems like her original plan was just to fuck him near a radioactive bomb. Like, what the fuck were you thinking?
And considering Yu's track record with Sarah at this point, I'm surprised that, you know, he didn't go for it.
Belga,
it's like you're going to get radiation poisoning, and once you put your dick in, you're not going to take it out. It's going to stay in there.
Belga teleports again with a laughing farewell, and Yu tells his ship to get away. The ship does so, and Yu starts to go Super Saiyan 2 before the bomb explodes, decimating the ship, damaging Monmo a bit, and leaving you basically fine but unconscious?
I will say, how does the pirate and outlaw have better technology that lets her teleport in and out of the ship, but the police officers don't?
I mean, it was the 90s. That basically was how it was in the 90s.
Saya takes you to a space station where he's put in a bacta tank, and she feels guilty for acting like a child and not coming out to, you know, help. Nyan also feels guilty. Daigo Tokuda, remember him, enters and confirms that Yu will be all right. The doctor admits that he's surprised, as he only provided regular medical procedures. and then he preaches religion.
Wait, that sounds like... he almost died and like half-assed it. I'm surprised he's still alive.
Yeah. No notes. A call comes down for Daigo to tell him that Belga is bragging to everyone how she killed you. There's a time skip of indeterminate length, and Saya is facing off against Belga on some planet. Saya wants to fight, obviously, and throws magic at the pirate. They fight, Saya wins, so Belga cheats and uses a mech.
That's a bear or something, again.
Yeah, and where does that minigun come out of?
Yes,
It hits crotch.
He pulls out his cannon cock and later also shoots air out of his crotch.
I guess that's a real cocking station.
Oh no, I have to leave that in.
maybe that's the mech's special power is cocking station. He can shoot different kinds of projectiles out of his crotch. It's a minigun, then it's air, then it's something else.
Belga gains the upper hand, and Saya uses the Force to awaken Yu on the space station. Yu then uses instant transmission to stop Belga from killing Saya, so she gets back in her mech and attacks. But the first attack fails, so she decides to destroy the planet with a weapon called Genocide Blaster. That's not a translation. She says those words in English.
Again, why don't the police officers have this?
Why don't the police have a genocide blaster? Because in whatever galactic year it is, they've learned their lesson. Defund the police.
Good point. I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
So Yu uses a magic sword to stop the attack and defeat Belga. Later, back at the medical facility, this time with Saya having received just ordinary medical attention.
Suboptimal medical attention. Like, she's mostly fine, just skip for an ibuprofen and call it a day.
This is like sitting there waiting for patients, and he's like, I wonder how little I can do and still have them survive. I'll clean her ears with a Q-tip. See if that helps.
The doctor comments on how Yu just disappeared from his tube and then praises the glory of Christian God. Okay, he doesn't, but you believe that.
It tracks.
He doesn't believe in medicine. he just slaps on a band-aid and prays. Oh my god, I can't believe he survived.
You must have been praying to our Lord Jesus Christ. Daigo suggests, however, that it was the power of love. The Doctor and Daigo leave. Yu and Saya flirt a little, then they go to kiss, but are interrupted by a knock at the door.
And then turns out that Daigo is... I'm not sure how I should say it. He puts on a raincoat and talks about Huey Lewis. as he dances and lays down some plastic and picks up Max.
Yeah, he does get a bit suggestive about him. If you guessed that the knock at the door was Nyan, you're right. He brought a present, however, dozens and dozens of medical robots that are the same as the sales robots from earlier.
Still probably more useful than the real doctor. And they're not religious.
Yeah, but they probably have cocking stations.
That's a win!
Based on what the one robot did to her when she didn't want to buy a dress, I don't want to know. Maybe the sequel to this is a hentai.
There is a post-credits trailer? For the game. There's no actual trailer or footage of any sort. It's just Nyan and Monmo talking about cheat codes when you do play the games. Enter this as your name when and it doesn't say what happens if you do. The first one is I bought the OVA. So has this made you want to check out the Cosmic Fantasy series?
No, because most of the great stuff that came from it was the Cocking Station, which is not canonical.
The potential of having like it being a JRPG, but you investigate stuff and etc. Like that could be interesting, but I'd have to look into it more.
Well, you can get the all of the games on Switch, either in the collection or separately. Just having a little quick read through the store page. Visual RPG that combines nostalgia with something new. From 1994. Animated scenes were rare at the time. Yeah, it came out on a CD console, so... I mean, arguably the first CD console. Its world, characters, character personalities and story gained a huge fan following, making it incredibly popular. And then it ended at 4 games. The series, famous as a pioneering title for integrating animations into crucial moments, used groundbreaking techniques. It was among the first to adopt anime-like cinematic styles, maintaining high production quality that still holds up today. Yeah, it doesn't really talk about the gameplay, just and the gallery is mainly just screenshots of the cutscenes. I'm not really interested in checking these games out. So is it a Yeta, Nani, or Baka, Artura?
I think surprisingly for me, it's a Nani, but I kind of enjoyed watching it against all odds. I think the animation was good. It was kind of funny how evidently inspired by Dragon Ball it was, though. But overall, it was okay. It feels like they expected me to know more about the characters and the cast to be able to enjoy it as much. So maybe I would have liked this more if I had actually played the games, but you know.
Angus?
Yeah, I thought it was a Nani. It was very well produced. I recognize some veteran, very prolific voice actors that are still voicing characters. And that's about it. The story felt like I didn't feel any stakes again. it was kind of just random shenanigans that were kind of connected.
Yeah, I gave it a Nani because nothing really happens. So does it deserve its AnnieList score of 54%?
You know, so for basically the only thing the animation studio did, it was actually surprisingly good. Like learning that bit of information, I was impressed by it. But yeah, nothing happens. It's just a 50.
Yeah, that's it seems like a okay score for it.
Yeah, agreed. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Gus.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, find us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. Sora Dewa, game on.